Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Controversial subjects with the facts can be tense, but we are a sub-science here to make things make sense.
Today we are talking about smartphone addiction. We're going to explain to you scientifically if you are addicted. We are going to explain what it feels like to be addicted, how it affects teenagers and infants, and also how smartphones affect our eyes.
Addicted. Okay, I'm addicted.
It's like really hard to not be from my research. To be addicted to your phone in this day and age.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
We're back. We had a little break.
And yeah, 2 weeks off the pod.
Back. We haven't sat in these chairs. Oh my God, I'm doing that thing where I'm performing. I'm sorry. I got to get into the podcast. I can never not think of it now that you said it. I'm performing. How do I become... How do you feel? We're sitting back on the podcast couch.
Oh my gosh, I love it. It's the same. Good. I mean, yeah.
We had a summer break, baby. We had a summer break, basically. We went, this was spurred on because we challenged ourselves to actually take a cell phone vacation and turn our phone on airplane mode for about 10
full
days, something like that.
10 days.
Yeah.
Which it's just so sad. Like, yeah, how often I've talked about it.
We were like, are we going to do it? Can we actually do it? And we had, we can talk about it a little more when we get to that. But ultimately, we had a nice vacation.
Yeah.
Time away, time off. I feel relaxed. More
you
so.
Do
well ish in and out because this time off we kind of had to do some work in previous year. I've learned about myself.
Mitch's quest for relaxation is a fascinating one. The fact that you said you're relaxed, I was like, he did it, because you're always like, I'm not relaxed, by the way. Like, you're like, but I know I'm on vacation, but I'm not relaxed. And then, like, usually it'll be like the day before we leave vacation, you'll be like, it's finally setting in, but I guess we're going tomorrow.
It takes a long time. I know other people experience that.
Yeah,
too.
I think it's a
I
thing.
Know my dad does, and I've heard other people say, like, I need X amount of days before I get into that relaxation mode. So if a trip or something is too short, the time I get there, I'm leaving. And also, I've learned this about myself, that if I kind of need a full stop, step away from things to feel that relaxation.
Like, so a cell phone vacation. Energy.
Yeah. But with work, for example, I feel like you're better at multitasking and you're okay being like, I'll have these 5 hours of work and then I will relax outside of that.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas me stepping in and out and in and out just like lightly brings me fully into the world. So if I'm just going to spend even 2 hours of work a day or even a week, it's like that's pulling me back into the world, and then I'm going to be hyper aware of all the ASAP science stuff and everything. Hmm. And so I won't be like fully relaxed, which isn't always a huge problem, but it doesn't feel like a full vacation because it's not like putting a foot in. It's like I have to put on all my armor and my helmet and all this stuff. That's a weird analogy. I'm like, okay, there's something deeper here.
Someone wants to go to war.
And to step into it, even just for that brief moment. So
that's what I mean. I brought up the relaxation. I was like, Mitch has an intent and fascinating relationship with it. And boom, there we got deep. Okay, let's get into what did we learn this week?
Okay. Oh, What did we learn this week?
It's more like, what did we learn in the last 3 weeks, my friends, with the 2 weeks off?
Yeah, I didn't think too much about what did I have any epiphanies. Maybe I have one written down about a science thing I learned, but while you go first, I might think, like, were there other things we learned that were just sort of personal development or
like
growth?
From the specific cell phone vacation, or just mean the time off?
Or just the time off.
Oh, okay.
I often reach for, like, the science stuff I've been reading, but I was also like, oh, it's been a long enough period that did I have any epiphanies?
Okay, so my thing is so not about epiphanies. It's just that in northern Denmark, these scientists found what's known as the Tollundmann, which was like, he essentially 2,400 years ago, this person was buried in a bog and was kept preserved enough that like they study him a lot.
Okay.
And they recently were able to re-examine his gut and figure out what he ate 12 to 24 hours before his death.
Whoa. Wait, how old was he?
2,400 years ago.
Wow.
So just like think about that. That's why I was like, what the hell were they eating? Like there wasn't Doritos Cool Ranch. So okay. It was a porridge of barley, flax, and fish.
Flax?
Yeah, they were eating flax, barley,
and fish.
That
sounds like your diet, minus the fish now.
No, actually, I know. I was like, I eat porridge of flax.
That's like nothing's changed.
Well, and then, yeah, it's kind of cool. Actually, whoa. I kind of was like, whoa, that's so weird. But now I'm like, wait, I kind of eat that a lot.
Yeah, minus the fish now.
No, but now I'm just going to start putting fish in it and be like, it's my 2,400-year-old Tollundmann
so
meal.
So they could just tell from the trace remnants in their stomach.
Yeah, and they also found out by studying their intestines, because of the specific proteins and eggs that were there, they had 4 parasites from contaminated food and water. Which
okay,
I
this
also,
is you.
Someone who self-identifies as getting Giardia lambia twice, who has had many parasites. Yeah, wait, whoa, I am an archaic human.
Are you
human.
Tollund? What was his
am
name?
Am I Tollundmann?
That's cool. So they, sorry, I missed the beginning. Did you just say they recently found him, or they
or
recently
they've like
were
studied
to...
this person a lot because of the like amazing conditions okay. he was under, but like with new science, they were able to go
actually
back
look
and really look at the
contents.
Proteins deeply of the intestines and learn so much. And I also just love the idea of thinking that like all humans, like back in the day, they were all shitting, barfing, had parasites for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Like, or feeding parasites, constantly starving, like, because yes. It would be, they didn't have the medicine then. Like, that's just an example of medicine now really being good for parasites.
And us being so unaware, like, we're so part of a society, at least much of the world, that we have access to those things that we don't even have to think about parasites. Except in rare occasions.
It's
and that's a privilege, obviously, of like
crazy.
The,
yeah.
Like, part of the world.
It's
we
definitely
live in.
a minority Western world issue. But yesterday, swimming in the freshwater lake of Toronto, I was like, I met an American. I was like, just don't tell your politician. But like, we have this gorgeous fresh water.
Oh, you mean
because
they're going to want to come?
Yeah,
and
I was like, don't tell any Americans that they're going to come. Don't tell the military. That's for sure. Don't tell the military about the fresh water we're swimming in. California's like, we can't. We're thirsty. I'm like, oh, we're just swimming in fresh water. That is really quite clean and like, we're just so lucky to not have those parasites, even though I do get parasites quite often.
Yeah, and you do have those stomach contents. Yeah, it makes you wonder if life is as different as we think sometimes. Like, I assume it is 2,000 years ago.
I was bringing this up because I was like, it's so different. And then I realized I eat porridge and I have
flax.
Parasites. And I'm like, okay, whoa, never mind. We're just animals on this earth.
It would
cute
be so,
sapiens.
Like, I know visually it'd be so different. And
actually, I kind of have a
would
beard,
be
and
but
I look
maybe,
kind of maybe.
Or I mean,
oh, wait,
like
no.
What they'd be wearing and what they'd be living yeah. in terms of structures. But I just feel like maybe life would not be
that
different.
They're like, there's literally maybe one Tollund man who's just like, I can't relax. It takes me 7 days to relax.
I need a bit, like, actually, probably.
I need a vacation from the hunting and the gathering, and the agriculture is happening, and I'm stressed because all of a sudden you have
like,
to
like, I stare at the sundial
corn.
All day long.
Yeah, I know, and time is just passing. What am I? Am I an
That's
animal?
That's their smartphone.
What's
death?
Okay.
All right, moving on. Yeah, that's
yeah.
cool. I think that's
actually cell phones is a great link because that's the biggest change of then to now.
I know
much.
That
yeah.
is a huge difference.
They
but
certainly
I was like,
didn't have a smartphone.
Are humans just what's the word? You know, like they might have had the equivalent thing
yeah.
that made them addicted in that
yeah, they
day.
Were
that was not
literally
technology,
addicted
but...
to looking at the sundial, the
yeah.
dopamine release of realizing
yeah, like,
time.
It's noon. I wonder what it'll look like at 1 o'clock.
Your turn.
So mine is, you know, related to climate change, but it felt sort of optimistic and positive, or it was just like a suggestion. So a new study that I came across that Nature had featured as well found that just 5% of the world's power plants.
Oh my God, I read that. Yeah.
Produce 73% of electricity emissions.
Yes. Isn't that crazy? Wait, so where did you see this? I was just reading Nature Magazine. Was this like going viral or something?
I saw it on the internet. I saw it on Nature, but it was referencing a different article and study. Okay. So it wasn't published in Nature, I didn't think. But
I sent this to the team of the show we're working on.
Oh, really?
Like, we need to end the episode about power with this.
Okay. Well, so just to clarify, so everyone is on the same page, it's of electricity emissions, which are the biggest of all of them, but they count for around 25% of all emissions.
Yeah, so it's not all, you have to like pie chart it down. Yeah, so it's not 70,
they're not responsible for 73% of all emissions. Yeah. They're responsible for that of electricity emissions. Oh, that's
actually important. I didn't know that.
Yeah, your brain goes to, because you hear these things all the time. And
70% of 25%.
Correct.
So then you could technically
say 5% of all of the power plants are responsible for it.
Yeah. Lots of percentages. Technically it's but then that means technically that it is responsible for about 20% of all emissions.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, which is huge.
Yeah, which is huge.
And so that's just a small percentage. The second biggest, just for like reference point, is agriculture and forestry, which is around 24% of all human emissions.
But that it's just crazy because if it's just 5% of these power plants, a lot of them are coal power plants. Like, we need to shut that shit down.
Even in this analysis, they looked at a lot of them, I think it was oil as well. It was like, if they just even changed to natural gas, that would be a huge difference. Obviously, like, transitioning, because they were trying to be realistic and be like, these places aren't going to get fully shut down. So their alternatives, I mean, they might be in the long term. I know, like, in Germany, one of them was in Germany, but people were like, no, they have slowly been shutting down huge parts of
that. Yeah, they're trying to shut down all their power plants, sort of.
But a big part of the argument was just focus on that 5% and even make them more efficient could make a huge difference.
Oh my God. And like, just like, I know like it's like controversial, but the natural gas thing is interesting. It's like, just switch to that for now.
Yeah.
People will have an easier time dealing with that.
Yeah. Then the power plants can continue to exist in a different way while we're in the process of transitioning to other sources. And having just a diverse energy grid, you know what I mean? And really putting energy into that. It brought up for me, though, always that conversation of personal responsibility versus sort of the industrial complex of our society. And, you know, wanting to be able to focus on personal responsibility, because I think I've said this to you before, I think that when people care about their personal responsibility, that actually trickles up into politics, which influences things. So if you don't think you should turn your lights off or waste less water or create less garbage, you're probably less likely to engage in
engage with understanding to vote for politicians
for certain reasons. This matters to me.
Yeah.
But ultimately, it kind of does show at the end of the day, these huge setups in our societies are what's responsible for most of these emissions.
It's such a fascinating stat, and it's so aggravating. And it's like, honestly, everyone listening, like, I know it sounds maybe slacktivism, not really, but it's like, tweet about this, talk about this with your friends, because we need to get this up the pipeline, no pun intended,
and like,
shut them down.
Think of it this way. Like, I know, and we've talked about this, there's renewable energy in terms of solar and wind, these are not, you know, perfect systems. Obviously, there's issues that come with those as well. But think of this, 25% of our emissions, if we change our energy sources to those things from like this oil and coal and all those things to renewable sources.
Sorry, it's also just 5% of the world's power plants. So it's not even that many power plants.
Right.
There's still 95% that are like more efficient. It's just 5%.
I know.
That's not that many.
Yeah. So let's like focus on that.
Yeah.
And think about how we collect our, you know, sun rays and wind as well as we can in the meantime to like replace that. I don't know. It just seems, obviously it's not simple, but it is like, if collectively we can come together, it's kind of like the billionaire conversation. It's like, just tax the super rich.
Yeah, it's so simple.
We're not even saying tax people who make like hundreds of thousands of dollars. We're saying so billionaires.
I know.
And it's like, if we can all disagree on that.
Yeah, but the thing is, we can't all agree on that. It's so annoying. We are, write down billionaires. Do not get me started on billionaires, or I'm going to absolutely vomit. I have much information and anger. So literally write that down, because it's a great idea for an upcoming episode.
I can do it. We'll take a little break now, and then we can start our cell phone.
He brought up billionaires.
Oh, yeah. Greg's triggered.
I was like, flip a table.
Triggered. I'm pushing the button.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you've been listening to Side Note, you know here at This Fine Podcast that we love to talk about therapy. We're always bringing the new insights we learn from therapy to the pod. That's why today we want to talk about BetterHelp. BetterHelp will assess your personal needs and match you with a licensed professional therapist that you can start communicating with within under 48 freaking hours. Yeah, I stuttered. It was that quick. The canceling is done securely online and is available worldwide. Not only can you schedule weekly video or phone sessions, skipping the long commute and waiting room energy of the in-person therapy experience, but you can log into your account anytime and send a message to your counselor and get timely and thoughtful responses. BetterHelp lets you change counselors at any time, which is really important. It can be really annoying to find the right one for you. So you'll always get a great therapeutic match, and it's more affordable than traditional online counseling with financial aid available. Just head to betterhelp.com/sidenote to get 10% off your first month. That also helps the show by doing that. And join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of experienced professionals. Again, that's betterhelp.com/sidenote for 10% off your first freaking month.
Study time.
Study time.
Study time. Study time.
So,
I like reading these articles
about cell phone addiction.
About cell phone addiction has like completely blown my mind. And like, I honestly, like, I hope it's not one of those annoying things where I'm like been reading them for a week and I'm like, my life's changed. Right. And I'm going to stop reading them and I'm not going to go back. But it's crazy.
Well, it feels like something that's sort of intuitive. And obviously we'll get into the science of different takes and perspectives and research on cell phone use. But I think people sort of know intuitively more and more it's become collective knowledge and even collective conversation that cell phones are bad for us.
Even if
you don't know the research, say, I think most people are like, I don't want to use my phone as much as I do.
I remember the first time I went on the internet on my phone. And yeah,
you do.
I do. And if you're Gen Z and you heard that, you're like, grandpa, you know what?
Record scratch. Do you even know what that is?
If you're of age. Okay.
Oh my God.
Like Gen Z, it's low. Okay. So yes. Okay. So it was a BlackBerry because I had this weird, like, I was, you know, always wanting to.
Is
like,
BlackBerry still alive?
They work on software now, but it's so really sad because it was a Canadian company. They don't, they do, but it's like, you know, arguably, you know, they don't. But like, I remember I was always like, oh, and like, so my version of being, oh, was like, I'm not getting an iPhone. I'm getting this BlackBerry. And I remember the first time I like slid it up, it was like such a weird phone. And I like could go on an internet browser on the phone. So it's not like an app. It's like I could open up what it was like the internet.
That. Yeah.
And then I Googled something. I remember texting my friend Jess, oh my God, I just got a smartphone. And then she wrote back kind of like, isn't it amazing what you can
do that you remember? I don't
and then
remember
it's like, now I'm like, that was the beginning of the end for my neurons.
It's crazy to go through that change. For anyone who listens or watches this pod, we literally lived in a world
without the internet.
We didn't have the internet. And then in university, lived in a world where we texted by pushing numbers.
Yeah, T9 text. I can still do it. It's like,
still.
TJLM, TJM, miss you.
Nuts. And now our phones can do everything.
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 Yeah, we don't even have to use our thumbs to type. We can just be like, hey, Siri, text this person with my voice, and they do it.
I like that part, actually. So I think voice commands on cell phones, A, are so bad. They don't understand anything.
Oh, I don't even bother.
But yeah. To me, that's the most interesting area that phones can go because...
Wow.
Because the way I waste most of my time on cell phones is by going to check the time and getting sucked into my phone. Or like going to just check one thing and then seeing notifications a million things.
True.
So I want to just be able to ask, or like going to play music on Spotify and seeing text messages or them being like, I'm going to go on TikTok.
Or being like, I'm going to go open my meditation app. And then you're like on Instagram.
Yes. So I like the idea of just talking what I need, or just being like, hey, Google, like, can you do this for me? Or can you tell me this? Or instead of me having to actually physically use my phone and see things.
Okay. Well, I did not know you were so passionate about the voice.
But I've never heard you speak like that. All of them. In the car, I'll be like asking it to like play something. Or the other day I was driving and I didn't want to have to stop and put a new direction. So I was like, add a stop to my directions. And it was just like, I cannot do that.
I think so.
Like,
also,
that seems pretty basic.
Yeah, no, I know. I've always thought that because you don't do it, I've always thought it was like an algorithm thing, and that the more you do it, the better it got at understanding, and then it starts to work.
No.
That's what I always thought. Because
it's
then I'm
not
just like,
that.
I ain't putting in the really, I ain't putting in the effort with this relationship. No. I'm not building a relationship with
my
phone.
You ask it so often over and over things, and you're like, it's getting smarter.
No, I actually like genuinely, actual research, I've always thought this. It's like learning your voice and
learning your voice to understand what you're saying.
And also like, you get better like at words. Telling it like what it gets.
True. That's the annoying part when I start to say, I'm like, okay, how do I have to like say this? It's like, add stop on Google Map to gas station. Like I'm like literally
like,
trying to
we don't understand you because you're saying like one of us. We need the human and sounding. We have to get into also like some stats. I want to think about this.
Let's jump into some of your research. So just to clarify, we're going to talk about cell phone addiction. We took a bit of a cell phone vacation, and so we'll chat a little bit more about that too. But what are some of your stats? Let's go there.
Oh God. Okay. So it's just like cell phone addiction is like so hard right now to study. And I think a lot of scientists and like sociologists are freaking out because they're like, it's obviously an addiction, but the way that we understand addiction physiologically for like substance abuse is a lot easier because you can use biochemistry. This is like a very like new technology, and also like, anyways, like we shouldn't even technically maybe be saying addiction according to a lot of studies.
Yeah. That it's not like it's kind of contentious because it's not classified as an addiction the way that drugs or certain substances are.
And current research thinks it's important to think of it as a spectrum. You're either not addicted to your phone or not.
Right.
You're going to be likely falling on the spectrum. And they actually think pretty much everyone in the world, this is the most significant technological advancement of our time, is this smartphone. Like these people are just like, and everyone in the world is likely going to be on a scale of this very soon. In fact, it's a crazy percentage of the world that have smartphones.
It makes me wonder if something like this cell phone addiction just becomes so ingrained into society that it's not even seen as an addiction, that it's just seen as an essential part of human life.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of where we're going, but
like
it's
cars.
Important
like,
that we have understand.
There might have been
a
point where like could someone have said like humans have a car addiction, but now it's like do they? Or
well,
is it just
humans do have a car addiction? It's like actually a problem.
On
that's
mass,
so funny.
But people view it in such a way where it's just like you just get a car, you use it to get to your job. And don't see it. Obviously, I understand that cell phones are actually mentally way more addicting than cars in terms of their usage patterns. But you know what I mean? Where maybe in 50 years, people will just be like, it's so ingrained in human culture.
Because you can't really escape it. Like the way that technology is advancing, we can't. Like we are not, I don't think technology is just going to like go away. And I think that, that's why I think this research and this episode is so important, because we all have to learn how to have a relationship with our smartphone that's not going to make us potentially like the least disturbed or depressed. Because I think it does. We now know have the capability. Like we've all switched our minds about technology. At least we have in the last like 5 years.
Of it
years.
Not just being this saving grace
like beacon
light
of hope
that's,
thing.
It has a lot of caveats that come along with it.
So the study that I found was about, it was in India. So India is a really interesting place. So like 291.6 million smartphone users. That's how many there were in India in 2017.
Okay.
And they think by next year, there's going to be 490.9 million.
Wow.
So it's just like, it's doubled. It's still not that much when you think about the whole country.
Well, it's still like almost half.
Yeah, I know. It's like, that's way more population.
And also like, literally more than 10 times the population.
India is, I'm like, Canada is so small and pointless and weird.
Population-wise.
But you know what I mean? Like when I'm like, Canada? I'm like, Canada is the world. And then I like read about the population of India and I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Gorgeous country. Anyway, so it's based in India. And they like they essentially like screened them to figure out who was addicted, who was not addicted, like based on their cell phone use. Just so people know, people with smartphones, the average use is 3 hours a day, which seems like a lot.
Wait.
That's the average. Sort
of seems like not a lot.
I know, but then it's like, but it still seems like a lot. Like, when you say it out loud.
I think I use mine more than that.
Well, we're probably more addicted. So they put them on a sliding scale of addiction to non-addiction, and then they just ask them a bunch of questions about their life.
Okay.
And it was really interesting. But when it comes to addiction, these are the things that we should look out for. And one's called salience. This occurs when smartphone use becomes the single most important activity in the person's life and dominates their thinking, feelings, and behavior. And I was like, I kind of think that's us.
Yeah, because it's like social media becomes a second life.
And I do wake up and go on my phone. You know what I mean? Okay, so, oh my God, phone out of the room. Okay, mood modification. This refers to the subjective experiences that people report as a consequence of using their smartphone.
Can we start calling that? Can I get my smartphone?
And can be used as a coping strategy. So like the buzz, the high, the escape that you feel. I'm like, that's what I'm doing on my phone when I go on Instagram. Tolerance. This requires that you need more and more time on your phone to get the same mood modifying effects. And then there are withdrawal symptoms. And so we should talk about if we thought we had any of those when we took ourselves on vacation. But it was like feeling tired, which we did.
Wait, that's a yes. symptom?
Feeling tired, shakes, moodiness, irritability, and just overall unpleasant feeling states.
And I mean, that's like, very broad.
We were so tired. And I actually, when I was like on the 10-day like vacation, was like, it's because if I was this tired, I'd go on my phone. And that's I would true. Start to feel the physiological effects and excitement, FOMO, right. anxiety. Like, but also yeah. good things, and then you're awake.
That's true. So on our phone vacation, we were also at a cottage and by a lake and just relaxing. So part of me was like, you know, we're much more relaxed than
we've
been
in a long
time.
Yeah, my mom was like, it's the fresh water.
Yeah,
fresh air.
The fresh water.
Oh yeah, the fresh air.
So I think that's partially true, but you're right. I think as soon as we got home and I used my phone, I realized it gets me through my tired points of the day. So when I would naturally have a slump, or I don't know if naturally is the right word, but when I get tired, I go on my phone and that perks me up, or I just stop thinking about being tired.
We were also only reading books. We weren't watching TV. That's another thing. Smartphones
like
don't fall. Like the 3 hours a day is just smartphone use. It does not include television or your computer, which is also
not
crazy.
All screens. You're just talking
about. Yeah, but I'm saying
phones.
We didn't even have screens. Like it would have been a movie at night could have kept us awake at the cottage.
Right.
I think. Like I literally was like, it's the lack of screens.
Entertainment or media.
And just, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's actually a really cool life. It's why I like camping because
it was so weird. We were sleeping like 9 or 10 hours a day. Yeah. And then I was like, why am I? I can't even make it to 6 p.m.
I'm like, did you get relaxed? Hopefully.
I did, but then I was like, is something wrong with me?
Okay, so do you want me to keep going about mine or do you want, like.
Well, it brought. Okay, yeah. There was one point in yours that I want to pause and talk about this, my study on infants, because I feel like it relates and it feels really applicable to adults as well.
Oh, God, okay.
In a way that I think I use my phone. So. Basically, the study was on the impact of giving toddlers around 2 years old, I think the majority of them were, smartphone devices or tablets to calm them down when they were like being annoyed or having a tantrum you know, parents just being like, here, this will shut you up. I'm going to give you this.
Me as
device.
A parent, are you kidding? I'm going to be shoving tablets in front of the kids. So
okay,
much.
Well, bite your tongue because you probably don't want to. Basically, they found that regulating their emotions with media was problematic because it didn't teach kids how to properly regulate their own emotions.
Oh.
And so those kids then get really irritable. It was associated with like the compulsive need to use media to regulate their feelings.
Oh, no.
So, and which I was like, I actually think that happens to humans. Babies aren't humans. I think it happens to adults as well, where it's like, if I'm anxious, or if I'm stressed, I quickly go to my phone as a regulatory tool instead of stopping and going, okay, let's just like address what I'm feeling right now.
So, okay, so it's like literally screen time is affecting infants because they cannot process their emotions because they just get a screen in it and then they start to need the screen.
As opposed to them having a tantrum and a parent like, you know, sitting down with them and talking through their feelings and not saying,
being like, let's read a picture book.
Literally. Or that's good. It's like, I think the study was trying to differentiate just distracting their brains versus actually teaching them skills. And this can be for adults as well on how to think and feel those emotions. Like
that is for adults. That's true. We need to do that
too. And it's the reminder that it's okay to have a tantrum. It's okay to have bad feelings. You can't avoid those. Yeah. So where do you go when you have those feelings?
Everyone probably goes on their phone. You know what I mean? I'm like, we're retraining ourselves.
I know. It was like the kids would have way more negative emotions when their stuff was taken away from them, when their media was taken away. So I just thought that related because you said something about it in your study. That
there's something like about like
we do this.
That like that's so interesting. There's something about like almost media, because I don't have kids, but there's always like a plot line in a show where it's like, well, we're trying to get his screen time down. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they're always like, and I'm always like, that's so like dumb, but I'm like, oh, they probably just like reading this research. Like, they're like, right, it's always like, it's kind of like a waspy mom being like, screens down, John. And it's like, you're kind of like eye roll, but it's like, oh, they're probably just basing that on like,
that's a real, like, and real also issue. As a parent, I even see, you know, my sister as a parent of two young kids now, and being like, yeah, it's obviously so addicted and it's so easy to give that, but they have to be like, okay, you have to stop using it now. You've been using it for too long. And because we grew up in a generation where we didn't have those things, I think the stark contrast of being like, why don't you want to go play outside? Yeah. Like, makes our generation and older, I think, more notice it more.
Okay, so this is going back to my study. It's kind of linking back in this really interesting way. So when they divided everyone up from addicted to non-addicted, mm-hmm. and they started asking these questions, they kind of found four umbrella things that the study ends up being about. And one is literally that, like, what the cell phone does for the person. And people who are addicted, everyone who was fully, like, by their definition, addicted, said that the phone, like, made their life better in some way. It was a way that, like, they were able to, like, be happier. Whereas the non-addicted ones were irritated by their phone. Were irritated when their phone was around.
Can you repeat that to me? Sorry, I feel like I want to hear it again.
So it's like, people who are non-addicted to their phone.
Yes.
I'm just going to say it the other way, were irritated by their phone being around them. And they found the phone as like a burden on their life that they were just like, they probably felt like they had to use.
Yes.
Whereas people who are addicted were like, this phone, I love this phone. It makes my life better. It makes me, and I'm like, I kind of think deep down, it's like, oh, I love my phone. Like, I love my phone. I like wake up beside it. I go in all the time, blah, blah, blah. But intellectually, when someone tells me, I'm like, oh, I hate my phone.
Right. But you're like, but you're like, have a positive.
And I think if I was on like a survey, I'd be like, oh, I actually really enjoy that. It like gets me from A to B. I love going on it. Like, I love it.
That's
I love
so
Spotify. I love hate podcasts.
I absolutely.
Oh my
hate
God.
My
so
phone.
You're like, you have it in you to be not addicted.
Well, I think I am more less than addicted.
You are less addicted than me. That's true.
And I think I'm less addicted than like lots of people we know. But I still,
Mitch, that's
to
so
that degree,
you are.
I look at it. I despise the fact that I compulsively need it near me. I try sometimes to purposely leave it upstairs or whatever, but then I still have those compulsions where I'm like, I'm just going to carry it around with me.
Yeah.
And that goes back to that speech thing, like being able to talk to your phone. So many things I actually do appreciate and like are on my phone. That I then resent that it sucks
that it
me
to
think.
Yeah.
So like,
okay, wow.
I enjoy listening to podcasts or music or
it's
having...
Like, could they not just come through like a radio?
Yeah. Or like, I don't know. There's
no,
so
know
many things.
Mean,
like it has a calculator. It has a translator. It has
like,
a,
I wish I could go on a run and listen to music without having to have
your
phone.
Yeah.
I guess I just need like an old iPod.
That, but there's so...
a Discman.
I also like record music notes on my phone.
Yeah.
Like for myself. Or I record...
You just need to carry a microphone with you at all times.
Like, there's so many devices. So that's why I resent it, because I am like, I like to have it near me for those benefits, but it always sucks me in if I have it near me.
You know what? And for both, whether you're addicted or non-addicted, it said that they all use it as an escape. They all use it to alleviate boredom, and they all use it to modify their moods through listening to music, applications, and videos. So it's like, you actually still are like, I have to
still
do it, and I still use
that.
It to alleviate.
Yeah,
you still,
that's true.
You know, you still do that, and like everyone does.
Oh, 100%. That's why I don't like it, because I know it's like fulfilling that brief moment of boredom, that brief moment of anxiety. It's just like, okay, I can't live in that.
Okay, also, there's a direct link to fear of missing out and being addicted to your phone, which I have FOMO.
So people who are addicted are more likely to have FOMO.
Literally. So on the addicted side of the study, they find out that these people, like through other questions, have fear of missing out, and their phone, when they don't have it, they become irritated because of their fear of missing out and knowing that something's going on that they're missing out on. Whereas non-addicted people are less likely to have FOMO.
So can I give you a different perspective on that?
Yeah,
as
please.
Somebody who doesn't have crazy FOMO or crazy phone addiction, the other day, so I haven't like posted on Instagram in a few years, but I go on it occasionally because of ASAP Science, and then sometimes
he's Buddhist.
Sometimes okay. I'll check it, but the other day I checked it and I got crazy FOMO because you know the world's kind of, yeah. or at least in Canada, people have been able to
starting
enjoy
to open
their
up.
Summers.
Yeah. Oh, you brought up that FOMO on Monday. You were like,
gave me yeah. so much anxiety, and so related to what you said, sometimes I think it's not that people. It's like. You might get FOMO because you use your phone
yeah,
so much.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you're suddenly aware. Like, there's a lot of times I just live my life, and if I'm not using Instagram in particular, I just don't know what my friends are doing unless I'm talking to them. But it's like yeah. when you find out people are doing something and you yeah. have no idea,
it's
and you're
like
seeing
natural.
Videos. Yeah, you get yeah. it's that jealousy or being like, oh, was I not invited? Or yeah. should I have gone today because I didn't know it was going to be so fun? Or those kind of things. I hate that feeling. And I had yeah. it when I went on Instagram the other day and was just like, oh my God, everyone's doing all these things. And I decided, like, I had gone to visit my family, which I was really happy about. But then suddenly I was like, wait, is everyone having fun there? And I should have gone yeah. a different weekend home yeah. to visit my family. Like, it just makes you question so many things that I did not
I
like.
Feel
that.
Like the, I feel like my pandemic journey has helped me so, like, one of my main takeaways from everything is like learning. Like, I feel like I've gotten the best I ever have with FOMO. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the pandemic, it was like learning.
Is that because you didn't have to have FOMO?
Like, okay, at first, I was like, the pandemic is sick. Like, no FOMO. Like, my friends hanging out without me, they will die. And so that felt really good at first. But no, it was more me building hobbies and, like, independent, learning about myself independently. And the deep, immense joy that I get from that, that is, like, not to say, like, it's like, a joy I never knew I could get.
That's and nice.
Yeah, no, it's really helped because then it's like I actually need this alone time. I need that type of joy in my life. But before I was so caught up in FOMO, it's almost like I never let myself like learn that stuff. And the pandemic is like so extreme mm-hmm. that I had to do these things.
Like the other end of it.
And yeah. now I'm so happy. Like, and obviously, like that's just one of the positives of the FOMO. And now I'm just like, I hope it bleeds into me using my phone less. Because it's like, if they're linked, I'm like, I hope I can like wean them both.
Yeah.
Like wean them both away just a bit, you know?
I also, yeah, the pandemic in that way was kind of nice to not have to worry about that aspect of FOMO. Yeah. I mean, like, everyone's yeah. at home. I don't have to feel. And I remember having that in other times, like, when there's, like, blackouts and you lose power for 2 days and you're just like, oh, it's kind of nice that I don't have to stress about the things because everyone does not have.
Yeah, like, other than, like, candles are gorgeous.
Yeah, other than, like, the essentials of life, you realize those other things don't matter, especially when no one else is using them. So did you feel these things on our cell phone vacation?
Yeah. Okay. So I don't think, I've had done a pretty good job with my FOMO. Like that's what I've been working on a lot. So I really didn't have very much FOMO, but also the fact that I wasn't on my phone, there was no way to really experience that. Like the only FOMO I could have is like, Mitch is kayaking and I want right. to, or something like, you know what I mean? Like,
which never happened.
That never happened. Yeah. That's true.
But never.
It's like, you know what I mean? Like the concept of FOMO is so interesting when you're just like, out of
there's
cottage
no way I could ever go kayaking and you choose not to kayak.
Yeah, no, actually we've had like literal fights where I'm like, you don't kayak with me. But anyway, that was just like my fantasy.
But, that's your fantasy FOMO.
Yeah, my fantasy FOMO. Oh my God. So like, yeah, I didn't really feel that much FOMO. I definitely was tired a lot, but I actually loved the cell phone vacation. I thought actually that it was going to teach me more when I came back to not use it. But when I came back, I went on like a cell phone bender. Yeah. Like it was wild to knock off, have zero TikTok to TikTok. I was just like, my brain was like, I was objectively like, this is so fucked, but I'm so happy right now. Like it was like a slot machine going off. I was just like,
right, you can't stop it. I
woke up hungover and was like, last night was wild from the scrolling. And I actually was like, fun, I partied.
I agree. I feel like our cell phone vacation was a little bit cheating because we were in an area that we already associate without cell phones because it doesn't really have reception.
Yeah, and we also had so many activities too.
Yeah, and it's easy to let go of something when you actually, even if we turned it on,
it didn't even work.
It couldn't really work very fast.
Okay, but like let's be real here. Like other years, like for sure, it's like, oh, let's not use our phones. I go up to go on a run. I get on LTE and I check.
Yeah.
But this year, I went up there to where I could get on LTE.
And
I did not press the button. Yeah. And I was free when I tell you that I
think it's nice for actually, sure. And I don't think
I know. I'm like, was I free?
No, I think
we were free. We were free.
But I think it's important to view it as a balance like this, in that it's okay to come back and use your phone again.
Yeah.
It's just nice to remind yourself every now and then of what it's like to not,
be using it. I do think that the extreme of going off
to coming back,
to coming back, nothing really changed in my life that much. Whereas, like, I think it was last August, we did a similar thing. We went to an island and we went to a cottage and we had our phone from 4 till 5 and that was it.
Right. Yeah.
And that taught me more tangibly. I felt when I got back, I feel like I kept up habits of like hours in the day and it was like actually practical. Whereas when we were off fully, it's such a more visceral experience that when I got back, I just was like, ah, like, it was weird. Like,
well, it goes to show
I was just back.
That maybe managing, like, maybe cutting it out completely is just not realistic,
because
we live in a society that you're always going to have to interact with your phone, especially we work on the internet. You can't avoid it.
Yeah.
And
it's a balance.
And most people can't, because that's how you communicate. That's where all your, there's so many things on a phone beyond just the social media. I think that's fascinating to think about, that you're right. I actually think the regulation of here's my window where I can use it was a, not necessarily a better experience, but a more useful life lesson of, oh, I can get
I can do that.
I need
and I got everything I need. Yeah, exactly. I'm not worried about, like, I don't even, even like FOMO. It probably helps you deal with FOMO better because you're practicing.
Yeah.
You're there and maybe you're seeing something, but then you're like, no, I'm dealing with this. Whereas, like, when you cut it full turkey, you have zero FOMO for 10 days. You come back and maybe it's, like, more extreme.
Yep.
That's interesting. I actually think for me, obviously, and anyone on this freaking earth, it's like regulating it, because, like, you need it.
Yeah, it's like, I've said this probably on the podcast before, but phone is chips.
Phone
and
is
it's
chips.
Like, if I have access to chips all the time, I will always eat them.
If they're a New Brunswick covered bridge brand. Have you had those?
Is it New Brunswick?
From New Brunswick covered potatoes.
Bridge, most
delicious.
Amazing chips. Like, can we get a sponsorship?
Although once we did have a bunk bag that didn't have any sauce on it.
But that happens every brand. Every now and then you're like, where's the powder?
But also SpongeCon, like SpongeCon, and we won't talk about the weird ashy flavored chips that we had that one time.
Wait, what?
Do you remember the chips that tasted really like ash?
Oh, was it one flavor, you mean?
There was no flavor on it. It was all burnt to a crisp. But that was that shows you that it's a local small batch bag.
Yeah,
you know?
You're like, okay, that's probably part of the gamble.
Yeah.
You're like, I got a good batch.
Yeah.
Got
that Lay's, one. Like, that is some horrifying factory work there, that they're all like, hello, pristine little chip.
I actually don't like Lay's.
Yeah, me neither. It reminds me of Big Pharma. Okay. It's Big Chip.
Okay, so
Lay's
big
is
chip.
Big Chip.
So my point
Lay's
was,
is Amazon
Lay's is
chip.
Big Chip. Lay's is Big Chip.
Exactly. What's, that's why I'm like,
covered bridge is small
covered,
chip.
Covered bridge is like medium chip.
I have no idea.
A small chip is like your neighbor who like fried a potato.
Yeah, homemade chips.
Small chip is the spun ones that you got at like a fair. Like from the truck.
Oh, that like
when they deep fry
potato.
It. And then you're like, I saw that potato and I saw you. And
Nick,
here's my money. That's some local chip.
Yeah, but then that local chip is like $10.
Yeah, that's true. But you're having and you're vomiting it because you just went on like a spinny ride.
All to say, I do think it's fun to have chips. It's nice to have chips, but you got to regulate it.
Yeah,
but this also really relates to my other study about teens, which again I think relates to adults. So I'm going to bring it up. If that's
oh my god! Okay, I didn't even know you had another.
So. This study was looking at the mental health specifically in teens, and they studied more than 500,000 teens in 47 countries. So
just
it's
overall
huge
mental
country.
Health or their mental health in phones? Just overall mental health.
Oh, screens. The impact of screens on mental health.
Okay, the impact of screens. Okay.
Sorry. I just thought that was obvious.
maybe it was.
So, interestingly, talking about that time we went on a cell phone vacation but allowed ourselves 1 hour, this study found that there were some benefits during the first hour of daily screen use.
Oh.
But detrimental effects of recreational screen use on mental well-being kicked in after 75 minutes in girls and 105 minutes in boys.
105 minutes of using it that day.
Yes.
When you go over that, it starts to go, my God.
So they were
set
like,
a timer, folks.
Literally.
105 minutes, if boy.
So
gender's a construct too, though.
True.
So
obviously that was just at their scale. But it was interesting to me that they were like, there was actually a benefit. So having that first hour probably allowed them to connect with friends, feel like they were keeping up to date on things. But after a certain point, it was linked to depression, obesity, poor quality of life, unhealthy diet, and decreased physical and cognitive abilities.
There's nothing good when it's been 75 minutes and I've just been on TikTok. Like literally being like entertained by like a bird that flies into a window or something.
Yeah.
It's like, what the hell is going on? Yeah, so okay, so like it's like regulating it, but one thing I was thinking was like what does scare me this week is when you wake up and you literally like roll over in the morning and then you get your phone.
Yeah.
Like the first thing in the morning so thing scares me. That's but you're the saying that that's the benefit.
Oh, sorry.
But did they mean first thing in the morning? Because there's something about the morning that I'm like,
they
no.
I didn't say first thing in the morning.
Oh, I for some reason thought that it was like 1 hour, first 1 hour.
It just said, sorry, that is what they
meant.
Oh,
but it could be any time of day.
Yeah, they didn't mean the first hour of waking. They meant the first hour of phone use. So 1 hour, you could do 15 minutes here, 15 minutes there, okay. Or a whole hour at once. They just found 1 hour of use of day was actually a positive
okay effect. Cool sorry because I was like get that shit out of your room don't yeah, wake up and kiss your different. Phone kiss your partner your dog your cat
this is
your
why
phone.
I resent my phone because I use it as an alarm so I'm like I need it here
yeah oh but I have then, an alarm clock I did that
I know I got
wait,
one
where's your
you,
alarm
you were always like it sounds so annoying beep 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 beep. You have to click and you got made me feel so insecure about my little alarm no I stopped okay, using it. Okay and then I was like
I'm getting blamed for you not using your alarm
so it's really Greg's fault I'm addicted to my cell phone but also, I really wanted the radio, and it was just, okay, this is stupid and pathetic, but all radio clocks are ugly. I'm sorry. I looked high and low, could not find a nice-looking radio clock. They all look like they were made in the 80s.
Well, then, yeah, I know what you mean. It's like, you wake up and slap
if it's made,
in a movie.
There's no such thing as a mid-century modern clock, okay?
But, Mitch, there has to be.
I looked. Okay, I
what
hate.
What about the one? I literally bought a cute one.
It's not a radio clock.
No. Wait, you need a radio clock?
I want a radio clock.
Oh, sorry.
That's what I'm saying. I hate beep, 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 beep.
But okay. Mitch also, I was like, look at this cute alarm clock I got so I don't wake up with my phone. He was like, yeah, I saw that one. Didn't buy it. You were literally like, yeah, I saw that one, but like, that's ugly. No, I was like, okay.
I don't know why. I just, they either have this the two kinds of alarm clocks are futuristic, plastic, shiny, whatever. Yours is actually pretty cute, but it's just analog. And I was like, I want a radio clock. But all of them are either like this retro wood, which is not the good kind of retro. It's like the perfectly bad time when they were building like cement buildings everywhere.
Yeah, like brutalism or whatever.
They're just hideous. Okay. Or they're like very iPhone Mac-y, like sleek, but not in a nice way. In a way that looks like cheap plastic.
No, so I know what you mean.
If anyone out there has a recommendation for a radio clock, think about, okay, I bought that led me onto the journey of buying our little radio.
Which is gorgeous.
Exactly, it's but not it's an not alarm. An alarm.
Oh yeah, when you told me that, I was like, that seems weird.
You cannot find
that's so weird.
A radio alarm that looks like a nice, cute little, like vintage wooden little
we need to help get Mitch off his phone, and I am not kidding. Someone send him a radio alarm clock that is not from the 70s and
I will pay a good amount of money for it.
And not modern in a bad way. Okay?
Yeah, it's like, it just needs to be nice. I don't know where I was going with this. Oh, this was all about it being stuck near me, resenting. I'm going to go back to my study just to finish it off. So the 1 hour was good. Beyond that, it started getting iffy. and ultimately, they found 1 hour of physical activity and no more than 2 hours of screen time a day provided optimal mental well-being in teens.
Write that shit down, people. Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
And surely that
so
must
1 hour
be the same
of exercise and then like around an hour and a half of my phone. I can do that.
Well, you'd have to regulate it then.
Oh God. Set the alarm. Hey Siri, put an alarm for an hour and a half.
Oh, is she going to do it?
No, are you kidding? Siri doesn't know me.
Ah! She knows! She knows you.
She did it! Oh my God!
Why are you so surprised?
I thought I did never use Siri. I thought off. I thought Siri was off because I was like, wait, I don't want you. Oh, God. I hate that. That shit scares me.
I love that in 2021, you didn't know saying, hey, Siri would literally make her do that.
I don't play with Siri. I do not play with Siri. I like thought I had made Siri off on everything. That's why that spooked
me. But you
me.
Do play with Google and you're always like, hey, Google, what's the temperature today? And then it does. And you're like, hey, Google, what's the temperature tomorrow? Like I always hear you going. And then you'll be like, no, Google, what's the... Oh, God, my Google's going off now.
Oh my God, I hate this prison. This is a hell. We are in a cell phone hell. We're trying to get off of our cell phones, and by doing so, they're talking to us. Like that's actually horrifying.
Like we can't.
I literally am like trying to get my cell phone.
And your Siri went off here and in the bedroom. I heard it. You have something over there.
I don't have a Siri in the bedroom.
Maybe it's in the bathroom. Wherever your phone is. Last piece of caveat for my study: the screen time in this was not. It was purely entertainment screen time. It wasn't counting school or times when people had to use other devices.
Okay, true. Like so your job when you're emailing all day.
Yeah. So, well, this was for teens. So they were like, school, or your school screen time was different.
Yeah.
But this was like a personal entertainment screen time.
Yeah. I know when I'm not on my smartphone screen time. I know when I'm like writing like on my laptop. Working. I'm like, yeah, this is not bad. You know what I mean?
Okay. Oh my gosh.
Awesome. So reach out with more ideas. So upcoming video ideas we've got that are really good is Myers-Briggs.
Oh yeah.
And we're going to do billionaires.
Billionaires. Yes. And we're back. We're back, girl. We're here making podcasts. Let us know what you want to hear us ramble about. What's going on? We'll find some science about it. And oh my God, I'm doing the announcer voice.
Yeah,
why does
it's so weird, Mitch. Like, I don't know why. Like, it's so funny. I'm like, what is he doing?
Because I'm just like not speaking from the heart.
Yeah, no, and it's okay. So yeah, for more announcer voice, you'll hear it at the beginning and the end of every pod.
You're doing
subscribe.
It.
Shit, I'm doing it now. Okay, we're gone. We're gone. We're gone.
Okay, love y'all, bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.